Where are you watching the Kentucky Derby? If you're in the New York area, I highly recommend you come watch it with me at Treadwell Park West on 42nd Street in Manhattan. We're going to be having a great party, no cover, no minimum, drink specials, food specials, bourbon tastings, live music, gambling, basically all the good things in life. I'm going to start it off at about 2 p.m. on Saturday. Come join us, Treadwell Park West, 42nd Street location. You're listening to the In the Money Players Podcast. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is show number 37. It is Tuesday, April 30th. It's the Kentucky Oaks Show. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital. Very happy to be back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again. And we've got a terrific team assembled to go over these stakes races on the Kentucky Oaks card. But before we bring in our guests for today, I'm going to introduce the co-host of this show. But before I introduce the co-host of this show, I owe the man a massive apology. Of all the people in the world, I thought for sure he would be watching Game of Thrones S8E3 live. I knew he was working in Texas that day, short drive from home. I figured it was an absolute no-brainer. So when about an hour five into the show, I texted him, and I'll do this spoiler-free for those of you out there who haven't seen it yet. So I'll just say, can you believe that so-and-so did such-and-such to the other thing? Meanwhile, he hadn't seen it. It popped up on his screen. I basically spoiled Game of Thrones for him, and I apologize from the bottom of my heart to the People's Champion, Jonathan Kinchin. JK, do you forgive me?
I do. It's kind of a theme. You've been ruining a lot of things for me in my life as of late, so I'd expect that to continue.
What does that even mean?
Thank goodness I got some good backup here today to help me in case you start getting a little bit saucy. I got some people, the Best Friends crew is in the house, so they'll help me out here.
The Best Friends crew. That'll lead me to another question down the line. Before we bring in those friends, I did want to talk, JK, about some of the fun stuff we've got going on. Some great coverage up on the InTheMoneyPodcast.com site right now. If folks haven't been reading the Brian Hofacker Derby previews, going horse by horse, trip notes that would make Benny South Street proud, videos of just about every race as well. This is an amazing form guide if you're looking to get going or are in the midst and looking for another perspective on the work you're doing for the Kentucky Derby. Check out InTheMoneyPodcast.com. We've also got John Camardo. He's going to have a couple of pieces up this week, one about Derby post positions and the other is about the Kentucky Oaks. Those are the two he has planned so far. Lots of great content there. And I also wanted to announce, we've teased it, but now it's official. We've got the In the Money Players Podcast t-shirt, JK. Tell the people about it and where they can get it.
There's links on my Twitter. We did a partnership with a company called Where I'm From, and it's the shirt is called the on the front it says I'm alive in the pick five because there's nothing better than being alive, and if you hit the first leg you're alive, and all we want to do is get to those will pays, and then that's when the fun starts happening. We thought it'd be a fun shirt that can transfer to racetrack. So those are available on our Twitter pages, and we'll send out those links a little bit more this week.
Yeah, there should be plenty of activity on Twitter. We're going to keep pumping up the Monster Pod. Thanks, everybody. That's going to end up being not only our most popular show, but I think maybe the most popular horse racing podcast that anybody's ever done. Less credit to us than to our amazing guests who helped us not only in sharing their great insights, but also in helping us promote the darn thing. And one of those guests from the Monster Pod is back with us today. He was a regular on our Keeneland Select Players podcast, and he's been on this show before and hopefully will continue to be more in the future. I'm talking about professional player Sean Borman. How are you today, Sean?
Hey, what's happening, boys?
Life is good. It's Derby week, you know? It's the old thing. If this don't get your fire going, your wood is wet. And JK, I just assume that you're even more excited than me.
Man, this is like Christmas this week. I get fired up all week. I actually tweeted, you asked me a question off the air, and I'm going to go ahead and answer it without you asking it again. But where I got so excited was I had a 46-minute conversation with Paul Matisse yesterday, and just talking about Derby and his memories of all these Derby situations, and that got me really going. And then I looked and saw the overnight for Friday, and I tweeted that I had found my play for my all-in play for Friday, and Garrett Skiba successfully guessed what it was, and then a couple of friends made jokes about it being chalky. And then a very annoying human being that will not be mentioned turned it into something, you know, different. And I'm not talking about inside the pylons. He's just talking about he's just giving his perspective. But other people like to chime in. And that's when it turned into me talking about my strategy for the contest. But I don't really care if people know that I'm doing it, because no one else is going to do it. There's like 27 races after that point where I can do other things to win or not win the contest. So it makes no difference to me.
I just think, I question the idea. Basically, the idea boils down to, and you already said it on Twitter, so I don't feel like I'm giving anything away, the idea that you can pound a chalk-chalk combination, whatever it is really to me, an exacta, a double, but you can do something that's just very likely to hit, that in real life over the long term wouldn't necessarily be a winning play. But in the context of the contest, with the rules that you have to follow there and the added money slash takeout reduction in the form of the prize pool, can make that play that might have been a losing play into a winning play. If I were you, I think it's clever enough, JK, that I wouldn't have given it away. But I guess sometimes it's hard to keep those fingers off the keyboard. I think we've seen that from you once or twice.
Yeah, my Twitter fingers get real aggressive sometimes.
All right, this was an unplanned diversion this early in the show. We still have not brought in our next guest. The last time he was on with us, it was actually at a live event. It didn't go out over the airwaves, but he was telling you all kinds of reasons to stay away from a couple of favorites, one of whom was odds on the day. We'll get back to her in a little bit. I am talking about Jake Ballas of Black Type Thoroughbreds. Jake, how are you today?
Hey, Pete. Good morning. Doing good.
I got to ask, Jake, as good as your opinions were on that Friday night at Bell's in Lexington, did you have a good day that Saturday? I was envisioning you cleaning up in that pick five.
No, to answer your question, I did not have a great day. I didn't, in all fairness, I didn't play that much, but I did not have a very good day gambling.
It just goes to show, for everybody, as good as your opinion might be, the putting it together on the wagering side, it can sometimes be its own animal.
Yeah, Jonathan's always told me it's more about constructing your ticket than handicapping, and I'm still trying to get better at the construction part.
Well, that's one of the things we'll try to touch on here. Maybe at the end of the show, when we go through these Kentucky Oaks Day Stakes, maybe we'll come back and talk a little bit about wagering strategy thoughts as far as y'all have had a chance to formulate them so far. But it all starts, in terms of the stakes, with race five on Friday. We're going to do something very unusual here and start with JK, even though we have guests, because I wanted to ask him, how many races will you be there for? Or will you? I think I remember you saying you like to show up for the stakes on Oaks and Derby, which just surprised me because usually you can't be held back when there are horses running around in a circle and opportunities to wager on them.
Yeah, those are an intense few days. I know that everyone on this call has been to the Derby before, but those are intense days. They're long days, and usually there's some adult beverages that are happening with the excitement and the big breaks in between races. And if you get there at 10 and try to ride it out till 7. It's going to be a long one. So I like to try to get there right before the stakes. Obviously, if there's something early in the card that needs to be addressed, I can get there. If I can't take care of that, another situation. So I don't like to get there too early. It's just a really, really long day.
We should give a little bit of love. We talked a little bit about Kentucky Derby betting challenge before, but we should point out there's still time to get in. If you're betting big money on the Derby, you might as well do it in the context of this contest and have a chance to get part of that prize pool. It's for high rollers. It's a $12,000 buy-in. If you're interested, contact Gary Palmisano as soon as possible. I'm not sure if he allows day of and walk-ups and all that. I wouldn't leave it to the last minute. I'd get involved now. You can find Gary through the Churchill Downs website, and I believe you can play in this contest right on twinspires.com. So it's not like you have to be as crazy as JK and try to go to this thing live. You can be sensible like me and Jake and Sean and go to a more relaxed atmosphere and play from there. So keep that in mind. And JK, how are you going to get things kicked off in this eight bells?
Yeah, you know, this race is always a race I think is a lot of fun, because you end up getting these Oaks types fillies that are finding themselves on the cutback. And so you can obviously find some opportunities. You know, Mother is a horse that I've always thought was very talented. She was always well thought of when she broke her maiden at Del Mar. And I love these Baffert types that kind of find themselves on the Oaks trail and then cut back. She's drawn outside. She's been working good from all accounts at Churchill. So I think she's extremely live in here, and probably one that if you're playing, she's one you'll want to consider. But Lyrical Lady was another one that I thought was fun. So I'll probably mess around with those two. But I think Mother on the cutback and some of the things she's done in the past. I mean, her debut as a 2-year-old sprint figure kind of fits with what these horses are running now. So if she can find that back on the cutback, I think she'll be tough.
That silver wig isn't going to wear itself. Sean Borman, what do you think about the eight bells?
You know, I've got a vastly different opinion. I hate Mother. I never thought she was that good. And I'm just throwing her out. I think there's tons of pace in here, but none of the speed horses impress me that much with their ability to take a lot of pace pressure and still finish the race. So I'm going to try to find a couple closers or horses that can finish. And I'm going to mess around with the 2 and 3, Proud Emma and Queen of Bees. Not a strong opinion for me. I'll probably just, you know, throw out. I don't like the 5 belt, the 1, and I don't like Mother. So I will probably just pitch those two and try to get the 2 and 3 both to be in the super. So I'll just make a small play in there.
For what it's worth, we talked about Queen of Bees before on the show, and looking at the race quickly, my eye was very much drawn there as well. Jake Ballas, what do you think here? Maybe you can break the tie regarding Mother.
Well, I agree with Sean. I wouldn't say I hate her. I don't like her in this spot. I do like Lyrical Lady, and if you're a rag player, she ran a 6.25 last race, which is faster than any other horse in this race. And I'm also I like Break Even for Brad Cox. The horse is undefeated; he's never done anything wrong. So I'm going to use those two with. I'm going to throw in Queen of Bees as well. I like her figure pattern, and but I will try to be Mother. I like the lady the best.
And just for technical purposes, Jake, you would call, even though you're going to be using two widely, Lyrical Lady would be your top pick in here.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to race 6. It's the Edgewood. And Jake Ballas, we're just going to go ahead and keep it with you for this one. I have a feeling this might be one of our shorter conversations, but who knows? Maybe we'll go on a tangent. As far as I was concerned, Newspaper of Record was going to win 99 out of 100 times.
Yeah, she towers over the field. I'm just going to play if I had to play an exact, I'm using Concrete Rose underneath. Concrete Rose is very talented. A good friend of mine owns her. I'll be rooting for Concrete Rose to upset Newspaper of Record, but I don't see it happening. Newspaper Record would be a single across the board.
We already know what you're going to say here, JK, so just go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously the best horse in the race, and she has excelled on this turf course. She's excelled with some give in this turf course if there happens to be some weather. You know, our buddy Chris Larmy actually tweeted earlier today, and I started to respond, but I didn't. I want people to bet against her. So he mentioned that, like, you know, Churchill, sometimes the rail can get dead on the turf course when it rains.
That's certainly true.
And that Newspaper Record drew the rail. But she's not going to end up – look, if the rail is dead, Irad's not going to be sitting on the rail with the best filly in the country, right? He's going to get off the rail. She's tactical. It's not like she's going to get stuck down in there and they're going to, like, race ride her. She's the fastest horse in the race at every point of the race. She's not going to be on the rail if the rail's dead.
That's a fair point in both directions. It's smart of Chris to point it out, but those things are a lot harder if you're the second fastest speed horse and the fastest speed horse is drawn right outside of you, where you could see a scenario race design wise where you could get pinned. She does appear quick enough to just make her own trip from wherever. And I admire you, JK, for making the case so strongly. I think we have some friends out there who would be tempted to downplay the chances and try to get that number up maybe just a little bit in your all-in double here. So kudos to you for laying it all on the table. Sean Borman, do you have a conflicting point of view, or is this one as simple as Newspaper of Record? And if it is as simple as Newspaper of Record, how would you see approaching this one from a betting point of view, or would it be more of a pass?
You know, I completely agree with Jonathan and Jake. Newspaper record's going to break sharp like she always does. She'll be loose in the three path, so the rail not going to be an issue. And she, you know, she wins for fun. My angle to the race is I'm sort of anti-Concrete Road. I wasn't super enthused with her last race, and I'm fairly sure she'll be a solid second choice. So I'm going to try to beat her out of the exacta with the other Chad, Cambier, Park, and possibly the three Winter Sunset. But I don't foresee being heavily involved in the verticals in this race.
In terms of horizontals, is this one where you would single and move on or look to avoid the spot because of how chalky it appears?
No, I think you just single and move on and then take the free square here. I will say, though, you know, these horses, for whatever reason, can and do lose occasionally. You know, Bulletin on opening night was, you know, towered over that field, I think, just as much as Newspaper towers over this one and just ran a stinker and got beat. So it doesn't hurt to take, you know, 10% of your bet, 5% of your bet and try to beat horses like this. But I don't see it happening on Friday.
So that's a strategy you sometimes employ that you will probably not even bother with here. Is that safe to say? Or would you potentially take your two others in 50-cent increments, whereas you'll have $5 or $10 with Newspaper?
I will probably back up to some degree, probably exactly how you said. You know, if I've got $10 worth of Newspaper, I might have 50 cents of the others, just because, you know, if you beat her for whatever reason, you're going to get paid.
All right, let's move on to the Ali Sheba, and we'll do that same thing, Sean, where I keep it with you. We're looking at another very big favorite here in McKinsey. We got to watch that last race together, and I know we thought it was more or less of a case of doing everything but winning. Do you think McKinsey will back up that effort with another big one here and get the job done in the Ali Sheba?
I think he's definitely the most likely winner, and I think, you know, being drawn on the rail, Mike Smith's going to have to use a little bit and send. And in my opinion, he's going to try to send and then pop out so he can sit outside the other speed and press them. And we'll probably work out a really good trip. Pace doesn't look very fast to me. So McKenzie's most likely winner. I'm going to use the three Prime Attraction with him. And then, you know, I don't really want anything else in this race. Seeking the Soul's numbers are fine, but he's going to be awfully far back in a slow pace. So to me, it's McKenzie first, Prime Attraction second, and then just move on.
Jake, how about you?
Yeah, I landed on McKenzie as well. I think he's the fastest in the race. Seeking the Soul, coming back very quick from Dubai, and typically that's a recipe of disaster. And, you know, Tom's Pintada, you know, if you take away the last race, the horse has been really good. So I'm going to use him under McKenzie. I think it's, in my opinion, it's those two horses.
JK, I think we know where you're headed here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a affinity for McKenzie. I think he's a really talented horse, and there's some scientific reasons behind it. It's not just the silver wig and Mike Smith presence that get me going. But, you know, look, the horse's most impressive race, I think, of his entire career was the 7 furlongs that he ran in the Malibu, where he was unbelievably impressive in that race. And his last two races, you know, this year, going a little bit longer, going 9 furlongs and 10 furlongs, he wasn't embarrassed. He ran pretty good, and I think his last race was game as ever, getting beat by Giftbox. So it feels like that this mile and a 16th is going to hit him right in between the eyes. I love the fact that he's drawn inside. No funny business, no wide business. Mike will get him out of there. He'll break, and he'll be forward. And I just can't see the horse losing. I think he's not as likely, obviously, as Newspaper of Record, but I think he's going to be the second most likely winner in the 2 days that we're going to have. Starting up this weekend.
All right, let's go on to the Grade 1 La Troyenne. And JK, we're going to keep it with you.
Yeah, you know, this race is a funny race. It reminds me of the first time I ever went to the Derby. Interesting story if you've never gone to Churchill before. But I flew into Nashville, which is Central Time Zone, and we drove over to Louisville, obviously you lose an hour in that situation. Zenyatta scratched that morning from the La Trojan. We would have missed it if she actually would have run, because we were all backwards with our times and stuff. I learned an important lesson that day.
You definitely got lucky.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I would ever would have forgiven myself.
Can you imagine? I mean, you got the this was pre-tattoo, I imagine, but still.
Oh, pre-hitting a score over $500 probably in my, you know, I was just getting started at that time. So, you know, this race is tricky. It doesn't really feel like a grade one. No offense. Do I have any friends that own horse in here? It doesn't feel like a grade one. I thought Secret Spice's last race at Santa Anita was pretty impressive. Really fast figure. You know, did it like a good horse. I worry a little bit about the price. You know, I don't know if I necessarily want Secret Spice as the favorite. I'm hopeful that the connections with Giovanni Franco and Richie Baltus aren't prominent enough across the country that they end up being a favorite on Derby Day. So I think that horse could drift up a little bit. Maybe Blue Prize will be the favorite. And then I thought She's a Julie, who won at Oaklawn wire to wire with Ricardo last time. Obviously had a little bit of a break, has been working with Copper Bullet, who's a nice, talented, older horse. And, you know, I think she's live. I think she's live in here and a horse that I would definitely consider, especially if you're playing the bet that I'm the most excited about all weekend. And that's that cross day, 2 day pick six with all the grade ones. And it starts with this race, the La Trojan. So it's the grade one La Trojan, the Kentucky Oaks, the Humana Distaff, the Churchill Downs Sprint, the Old Forester Turf, and then obviously the Kentucky Derby. So it starts here. I'm going to probably spread. If I was spreading in this race to get this thing started, I'm going to use She's a Julie, Blue Prize, Divine, Miss Gray, Mopetism, and Secret Spice, and try to get alive to some skinnier spots later.
All right. So just recap for me. That's your spread potentially for that cross day pick six. But in terms of your actual selection in the race, if I narrowed you down to just one or maybe one in a backup, what would it be?
I'll take Secret Spice as my top pick.
Okay.
But it's price dependent, right? I don't want Secret Spice at 8-5 if somehow you know, she gets bet off of her last performance.
So if she goes too short, then you would pick, just for academic purposes here.
She's a Julie. She's a Julie. Excellent. On the rail with Asmussen.
All right. Sean Borman, I would imagine you're going to be taking a look at this cross day pick six. I'm curious what your general thought on the race is and who you would look to use in the first leg of that bet.
Yes, I will be playing the pick six, probably the normal ones and the cross day pick sixes. I sort of agree with Jonathan. This is a tough race that is definitely a spread race for me. I would say the one She's a Julie and the nine Secret Spice are my top two picks, but I'm also going to use Blue Prize, Divine Miss Gray, and possibly All Emma.
What was it you liked about All Emma at 20-1 on the morning line?
Well, just she's got speed. You know, I don't think she actually makes the lead, which might be a problem, but she could. And in a bad field, I like to have speed horses.
Yeah.
So I would just toss her in as, you know, as a backup type play.
And bad, of course, you mean bad for the level, as opposed to. I'm sure we'd be very happy to own anybody in this. In this race,
of course. No, these are all very nice horses. But I agree with Jonathan. This is a grade one in name only. I don't think there's real legitimate grade one horses in here. In a field that's bad relative to par, I like to have speed horses.
Jake, let's move on to your thoughts on this La Trojan. We have very similar opinions from the first two guests. They're both, you know, 1-9 or 9-1 in either order, and both would like to spread in the horizontal exotics. How do you see it?
I see it as a spread race as well. You look at Blue Prize, you know, her last race, she gets beat by Montemoy Girl, Wildcat, and Bisou. She only lost a length and a half. On paper, I think she's the best horse, but coming off a layoff the last time, last year from 2017 to 18 layoff, she ran in the Azari and ran a poor race. This is a similar layoff. added an extra month. Ignacio is not very good off the layoff, so I'm going to try to beat Blue Prize. I like Divine Miss Gray. Her last race, she ran really fast. She ran a 6.25 on the suit. I spoke to Danny Gargan the day of the race. He told me she was 80% fit. I don't know if he was just telling me that or not, but he acted like she could get beat that day. I'm going to try to beat Blue Prize at Divine Miss Gray. If I had a second one, it would be the Secret Spice. Well, I think Teresa Z will run. I'm going to use her as well.
All right. So that is the scoop from Jake there. Let's move ahead to, actually, we've got this allowance race sort of in the middle of things. I did not prep you guys for this, but JK texted me that he had a quick thought for folks who are looking to get involved in these horizontals. JK, how did you see this one?
Well, I think Baffert's going to be hanging out by the racing office trying to get somebody to scratch out of this race so that he can draw in with Soul Street, with our friend Chris Felica and Kirk Herbstreit are involved in. So it'll be fun to see him get in. I think that's going to make the huge difference, right? He's the most talented. He's the fastest early. He's got the most speed. Obviously, being drawn outside isn't ideal, but not problematic for a horse like this. So the race, to me, is decided on whether or not he gets in. I haven't done the full dive, but the other thing I will mention is that American Tattoo for Todd Pletcher, the plain one. That horse is a horse that I've just seen, and I just remember like watching XBTV a bunch this spring and seeing him working against a bunch of other horses that ran okay, walk off, won at Aqueduct. He worked with him. Federal Case obviously was the expensive horse that they bought to try to get on the Derby trail from Winstar and Rudolph. And so, look, I just think he's an interesting one that has no American form that his workout suggests that he might be okay. So I'm gonna look at those two and see what happens to see if Soul Street can get in.
Do you figure this is a race you might be participating in with the Kentucky Derby Betting Challenge, or are you more interested in the stakes, or too early to tell?
No, if I hit the if I'm alive at this point in the Kentucky Derby Betting Challenge, I'm going to just be sitting on the situation that I created for myself until Saturday. I you know, but I will be participating in this race when it comes to the pick six, like Sean mentioned. I think this pick six is fun. You know, it's kind of a it's a chalky pick six, and you know that I like those a little bit. So I will participate in it, and this race happens to be right in the heart of it.
That reminds me actually of something Sean Borman told me off air, a vision that came to him while watching WWE programming last night. They came to Lexington, and you had a little bit of a flashback to the late 90s, early 2000s, and you think you've got a gimmick for JK?
I do. I think it's a great gimmick for JK. And, you know, it's sort of a takeoff on the long-running WWE character Goldust. And maybe a little LeBron James thrown in there, too. But I think JK would make a great Chalk Dust with his silver wig and possibly some face paint and a nice white bodysuit. But you know, what really is going to put it over the top is like a nice silver fanny pack full of chalk when he saunters up to that window and says, give me that $24,000 1-1 double. He could pull that chalk out, throw it in the air like LeBron, and just get it on and just kick that contest off. I think it's great, man.
As long as
will you pick me up and we can go to the mall and I'll see if I can find that whole get up?
We need fresh 100%, shoes.
100%. I think I did. I saw the fanny pack at Journeys just the other day and thought of you.
I think your shoe. The best part about the gimmick is, yeah, you no change in terms of the foot gear. Just keep that as is, and then go with the rest of it. This would be a good Halloween costume, JK, if nothing else.
I'm in. I just got to get all the gear. It seems like an intense shopping situation. Maybe the Prince of Keeneland will go shopping with me to help me. I know you like shopping.
Right. I'm gonna stay away from this shopping endeavor.
All right. This is a great Chalk Dust, I think, is a good segue to talking about our next race, actually, the Twin Spires Turf Sprint, which looks on paper like a match race between World of Trouble, number 6, and number 1, Bound for Nowhere. JK, you just going to keep punching those 6-1 exactas until your fingers bleed, or what?
This race actually it makes me smile a little bit. It's a very, holds a special place in my heart. If I'm not mistaken, you know, I had run into Jake a few times, but like I feel like at the Derby, standing right behind his box. He was with Richard and the Piper. And I think this was like the first time we actually like talked, and then we became friends after that. So very special place.
I have to interrupt, JK. I have to interrupt. You were standing behind Jake and Richard, and you could see anything?
Well, it was the big. I don't know if they had the big screen yet. I probably looked to the side when the race ran. But,
just trying to clarify that.
Yeah. You know, look, this race is interesting because it feels like Twitter chatter and just the world, like people are going to try to beat World of Trouble with Bound for Nowhere. And I get it. Bound for Nowhere is a nice horse, but in my opinion, especially with this draw, Bound for Nowhere cannot warm World of Trouble up. And World of Trouble is like a world-class sprinter. I think that this horse could win grade ones and obviously has won grade ones and will win grade ones in both surfaces for the rest of the year. So good luck trying to beat him. I don't see how it happens.
Two follow-ups. What about the post makes you more sure? And do you like Bound of Nowhere to run under, or do you have another thought vertically?
I think to win a turf sprint from the rail, you have to be like the fastest horse in the race. You have to be used. You have to get a good, if you're not a speed horse, you have to be like unbelievably lucky to not get shut off, to make sure you can get your, get your hole to get out. I just think it's a very tough place to win from unless you're just a dead wire to wire type. And I don't see Wesley and Irad thinking that it's a great idea to try to go ding dong with World of Trouble. So it feels like they're going to try to take back and go for that lucky route. And I'll vote that they won't get lucky.
All right. Jake Ballas, what's your thought in this one? Really fun race from a sporting point of view. Can we bet on it?
World of Trouble is the fastest sprinter turf or dirt in the country. I don't think there's any reason to get cute and try to beat him. I don't know. I don't like Wesley from the rail. Back at Keeneland, I did like Will Call in that race in the Shakertown. He was six wide in the turn. I didn't like that. And he gets a better trip today. And Bridgman's back on, 10-1. I think you can play him under. But, World of Trouble's in a league of his own, in my opinion. I wouldn't do anything to try to beat him.
It is tricky. I mean, you think about reasons, things that might get him beat. Oh, what if it rains? Well, he ran arguably his best race on wet turf over the course. Sean, can you find any sort of flaw in World of Trouble's game? I know we watched that last race together in the Carter and thought it was a little more grindy than brilliant visually. What do you think he's going to do here?
The only flaw that I can see is if, Jake mentioned getting cute. If Manny Franco gets cute and doesn't send this horse, that's the only flaw I see. And both times he's ridden him, he hasn't put him immediately on the lead. He's done sort of what he did last time at the Carter and wanted to press and finish. And that's fine. The horse can do that. But if he gets cute and lets the pace get too slow, I think a horse like Bound for Nowhere could beat him under that scenario. That said, World of Trouble is definitely the best horse. It is the most likely winner. And I'll be pressing him in all the horizontals, obviously. I am interested in Anguston to run underneath, second or third possibly. I think his race in the Woodford is really good. It was very fast on my figures. Then they lay him off, and the Shakertown, to me, was a great prep race for this spot. He was wide on a day that you didn't really want to be wide on a turf course. He finished up nice. And so I just sort of see him progressing into a really nice race at a track that he loves. He loves Churchill. So I'm looking to make World Trouble the winner and have Anguston run second and exact as third and tries and sprinkle in a few other horses.
The thought I had, and Sean, I'd like to get your opinion on this, was maybe the play is really just against Bound for Nowhere from second, with the thought that he's really trying to win the race and is in definite danger of getting blown up by World of Trouble and finishing third or farther back, opening it up for an Anguston or a Will Call or any of the other horses we've talked about in here. What do you think of that as a wagering strategy?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, Bound for Nowhere's best chance is to make the lead and have the pace be slow. And in that scenario, I could see him possibly winning, and certainly he could stay around for second in that scenario. But under most scenarios, I think you're exactly right. I think he probably gets blown up. And then it, you know, that opens the race up for World of Trouble to draw off and win, and Angustan and Undrafted and Will Call and some of these closers to come up and run second, third, or fourth underneath him.
All right, that does it for the undercard. We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor of this show, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, and then we'll be back with the Kentucky Oaks. Here at the In the Money Players podcast, we are proud to partner with the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Their mission is simple: saving thoroughbred racehorses no longer able to race. And they do more than that, too. They're also helping save people's lives through the TRF Second Chances program. You can read all about it at their website, trfinc.org. And if you want to make a donation, which we encourage all of our listeners to do, please do so through trfinc.org/players, our custom link. We want to show how horse players believe in this cause. That link, again, trfinc.org/players. All right, we're back and we're up to the main event of Friday. It is the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, one of the races of the year. And we're going to start with you, Jake Ballas, for your thoughts on this one. Who is going to get it done? And how excited are you about playing this race in general?
It's going to be a fun race. Everyone's going to be on Bella Fina, as they should. Figures-wise, she towers over the field. She's never done anything wrong. I've watched her gallop. I don't like the way she's moving. Just, you can go look at it on XBeak TV. Now, I have seen her move better. I'm not on race day. She could be perfectly fine. There's something about it I don't like. Now, she could just be that much better than everybody else, and she doesn't need to be, 100%. But I'm gonna try to beat her. With Restless Rider and Champagne, anyone. You're going to get no value at Bellafina. And outside of her, it's a pretty open race. I'm totally against Jaywalk. The other Baffert horse is 20-1, Florida Elmore. I don't think she's that fast. I would love to see Rudolph win with Positive Spirit. I don't think she's that fast. And only another intriguing horse at 20-1 would be Lady Apple. She ran at Keeneland in April, a two-year-old year. Came back, ran okay, then poor. They dropped her, maiden special weight, ran terrible. And after the long layoff, she's 3-for-3 this year at Oakland. On paper, she's not fast enough. But again, if Bella Fina loses, it's anyone's race. But I'm going to go with Champagne One with Restless Rider.
All right, so we've got three positive notes, and I do want to loop back to make you talk a little bit more about what you like about Restless Rider and Champagne Anyone. But first, as far as Bella Fina goes, I always make it more significant in my mind when somebody doesn't love the way a horse is looking in the morning or working, when they have a lot of experience seeing this horse before, because sometimes that's just the horse. Now, so when you're talking about Bella Fina not super impressing you, is that just from what you've seen this week, or is that compared to how she looked when you've seen her in the past?
Well, I've seen her in the past. I've seen her moving better. Now, maybe she's like, she's like Jonathan. She gets up in the morning. It takes her a really long time to get moving. And once she does get moving, she's fine. She just needs to warm up a little bit. Again, it was just a gallop that I saw.
Gotcha.
And you can compare them. And I just didn't think she was moving as well. It was similar to last in the Ashland. I didn't like Jaywalk. I didn't think she was doing well. Again, I could be totally wrong. And, last year, and you could see the video of World of Trouble. And in all fairness, it looked like the horse wouldn't pass a state vet in the morning.
Right.
And next thing you know, the horse runs off the screen. So I may be overthinking that. I just, on a number standpoint, she probably was over everybody. But I wasn't happy with the way she was moving.
I'll tell you what. In my experience, if you were using, I'm not crazy about the way the gallop I saw, that would probably be a foolish reason to knock a 20-to-1 shot. But when you're talking about a horse that's going to be 2-to-1 or less, you don't need a whole lot of reasons to look in another direction. I just wanted to get a quick thought from you, Jake, on what it was you liked about Restless Rider and Champagne Anyone, and then we'll move it along to Sean.
You know, I looked at the rag figures on Restless Rider. She ran a 10 last race. If she improves to an 8, I think that will win this race. If Bellafina doesn't run her race, and it's the same with Champagne Anyone. I thought she ran with Ian Wilkes. She's getting better and better. Horses get better with Ian. She did beat Chad. Now Chad draws in with Dunbar Road. She's lightly raced. That horse, from a figure standpoint, the way she ran, you know, I would definitely use her as well. I don't know if she's going to draw in or not. But just looking on the speed figures, I like Champagne Anyone and Restless Rider. Restless Rider's last race, I don't know. She got beat by Out for a Spin. I don't like her. Jay Walker in third, I don't like her. Maybe I'll lead more towards the Champagne Anyone, but I do like the fact that Ian Wilkes' horse, I do think Ian's horse is getting better at the right time.
All right, so if I held your feet to the fire, sounds like you would go in order Champagne Anyone, Restless Rider, and Lady Apple in the Kentucky Oaks. Sean, how do you see it?
Well, you know, until 2 minutes ago, I was very solidly on Bellafina, but I've got to say I don't like to hear that Jake doesn't think she's moving as well as she used to be. That's a big concern for me. I do think she's the best horse, and I think on her best day, she really just towers over this field. But there are a few in here that have sort of an improving look about them. And the one I think could improve the most is Flor de la Mar. I'm really excited about betting this horse. I should probably say my figure for the Sanity of the Oaks is much higher than most figures that are out there. So it's possible I'm right. It's possible I'm totally wrong. But I think it was a fast race, and she did all the dirty work down inside on a day that I didn't think he wanted to be inside. And I know she was always thought of as an Oaks filly by the barn. So if she continues to improve, I think she can win the race, and I think she'll pay a really nice price.
I don't believe the 20-to-1, though, honestly, on the morning line. Trainer alone, JK's money and the trainer alone, isn't that going to drive it down to half that?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ways to go in this race, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of these horses look sort of similar. 20-to-1 may be a little high, but in a big full field when Bellafina's going to be 8-to-5, I think you'd probably get every bit of 15-to-1.
Very interesting.
You know, mainly because the published figures aren't that fast.
Right.
So a lot of what people are looking at doesn't look that impressive. And that's one reason why I'm excited to bet the races. You know, I feel like I've got good proprietary info that should give me a little bit of an edge. But after those two, there's a lot of horses I don't want. But, you know, some of the ones that look like they could improve to me are Champagne Anyone, Restless Rider, and Out for a Spin. Even though the Ashland seemed like sort of a fluky race, she does appear to be getting better. And Dallas Stewart, once he gets them going the right way, especially on these big days, is dangerous.
Yeah, we've seen that movie before. That's for certain.
Yes.
Flor de la Mar, I'm going to mark down as your top choice there over Bellafina. That's correct?
From a value standpoint, yes. I think Bellafina is the most likely winner, but from a betting standpoint, I would say Flor de la Mar is my top choice, yes.
We've been talking about Flor de la Mar since the first race, JK. I remember we had a big laugh when we looked, trying to be wise guys, knowing that some UK and Irish books price up the Kentucky Oaks early. Oh, what price can we get on this one? And it was something like 7-to-1 after the maiden win, or 6-to-1 maybe even after the maiden win. Something completely ridiculous. And while I do agree you'll probably get more than that on Kentucky Oaks Day, what price do you think this filly's actually going to be, and what's your view in the race overall?
Yeah, I always defer to people like Sean who do this for a living. And when they price predict, it's usually better than when I do it. So if Sean thinks all of 15-to-1, JK thinks all of 15-1. JK tries math, fails, and I'm not going to get caught trying to argue with someone who does it for a living. I don't think she's, like he said, she's not that fast on paper either. Is Bella? Well, they're fast, but they're not as fast as Sean has the race. So I think Sean's expectation for what she should be is she's going to be higher. So, you know, we talked about it on Twitter yesterday. Overlays and underlays, in my opinion, are in the eye of the beholder, right? It's what you think is going to happen and the price that you think it should be. It's not the world. It's you. It's your opinion. So, I like her too. And I won't waste a lot of time talking about her while everyone else kind of mentioned her. The one thing I will say is I think I told the story where I ran into Bob after I was at when I was at Santa Anita, and I was just, you know, trying to like get some information out of him. And I was like, how's that filly you have, the Godolphin one? He's like, oh, she's doing really good. I think she would have beat the boys today if I would have ran her. And that was the race where Mucho Gusto won and the slop when the pick six, and I think the day that Omaha Beach won on the undercard, actually. So I thought that was interesting that Bob obviously feels strongly about her. So she's definitely an interesting one. My pick is probably gonna, you guys probably don't know my pick, and I don't think any of you do, and I think you're gonna probably kind of maybe throw up in your mouth a little bit, but I like Jaywalk.
Really?
I feel like her two races as a 2-year-old are still better than anything that anyone else has run.
Yeah, but she's clearly gone off form. Career. She's clearly not in that form anymore, don't you think?
She has. But I'll say this, though. Her last race, okay, the Devoted Dale was terrible. All right, so I have to pretend that didn't happen. No excuse. But her last race was not horrible. And I don't think that the like right up against the rail at Keeneland, almost the entire meet, but especially that weekend, was where you wanted to be. So I almost want to say she was like against the bias there, being down on the inside. And so I think that she can improve. I think that and all these horses, except for Positive Spirit, are going to be trying the 9 furlongs for the first time. Doesn't always happen because the Gazelle is obviously 9 furlongs, but Always Shopping isn't coming. So there's only one horse that's run at 9 furlongs, and that's Positive Spirit for Rudolph Brissett. So maybe the distance helps her. Maybe maybe she loves Churchill. She's been training well from all accounts, from what I've heard. And, you know, she keeps Javier, you know. John Service has won this race a couple years ago. So there's a lot of things about her that make sense. And the reason that I'm picking her, I mean, look, I'm not going to single her or anything like that. I'm going to pick her, and I'm going to fade Bellafina. I think Bellafina is going to be unbelievably overbet. I think computers are going to go nuts with Simon Callahan and how hot he's been. You know, I think in the last 90 days, he's 40%, 9 for 23. So I think computer wagerers and people like that are going to have algorithms are going to be firing money at this filly based on how fast she is, how hot he is, and things like that. So I actually didn't disagree with any of the other horses anybody else said. I think Lady Apple is interesting at a price. Florida Mar will be a type that I'll use as an A horse. Jaywalk, an A horse. Champagne Anyone, an A horse. I do not like Serengeti Empress with the bleeding issue. I don't feel like young horse stretching out that bled really bad last time is a great combination. Seems like a recipe for disaster. And then Restless Rider, I think, would probably be my second choice. As much as I know Jake is, as much as Pipes mentioned he was when he was on the show, I feel the same way. I'm going to be rooting like heck for George Weaver on Saturday with Vekoma. But I just feel like Vekoma had a really advantageous trip on an advantageous track. In that same track as the track that Restless Rider was trying to close into, and I think that she deserves a little bit of an upgrade for that. So she'll be my second choice in here, and then we got to see what happens with this AE. The second choice on the morning line is on the AE in Dunbar Road. So we got to see if that horse gets in, if anybody decides to scratch.
Lots to unpack there. It's mostly going to be little criticisms, which you sort of told me not to do today, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I don't think computers react to short-term samples like trainers who are 9 for 23. I still think you might be right about computers going nuts for Bellafina just on like body of work speed figures, but where did you get the idea that something like Callahan's hotness would affect what the CRW dudes are doing?
No, I think that, you know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that if I were to build a CRW, I think I would want the CRW to identify a hot streak. We know, we talk about it all the time. Oh, the barn's doing well. The barn's cold. It's a thing that I hear way too many smart horse players talk about for me to not agree that it makes a little bit of sense. And I could see these big CRW teams having little pieces of their algorithm, letting them know if someone's really hot or really cold. You know, I think it's, I don't know, maybe Sean, like I said, Sean does this every day, staring at prices. And so he might have a better view of how a hot streak will impact someone. But, and the other reason I'll say it before I throw it to Sean is I think in my brain, one of the reasons I thought that was what happened with Firenze Fire last year when he took that extremely big hit late when he was going against Mendelsohn and the race at Belmont. And I feel like the hot streak was one of the reasons people kept saying that the CRWs were so heavy on.
Interesting. It could be. It's just nothing I've ever heard from anybody I've talked to in that world, and further research is needed. And I do want to ask Sean if you've noticed late price drops on hot barn horses. That would be how it would show its fingerprints. And I also want to know what you think about JK's theory that Jaywalk was against the track the last day. I thought she was with the track and really ran poorly, getting pushed as early as the turn, and I wouldn't bet her with JK's money. But Sean, give me your take on those two issues. Start with the Jaywalk track.
Yeah, I did not have that as a bad rail track. So I would, it, to me, it was just a neutral track, and she got a, you know, just a fine trip. I think she's just sort of off form, and I, even if she's on form, I question her ability to take the pace pressure that she will encounter in this race and still be able to get the job done. I disagree about the track and the horse. I've got her completely thrown out.
What about the CRW question, Sean? And have you noticed that hot trainers getting late odds drops?
Yes and no. I think it depends on the time frame you're talking about. With Callahan, I think he's hot enough, and it's been going on for a little while now that they very well could have that figured out and price that in. But when it really pays to find hot trainers and just bet them immediately. So, you know, don't wait until they go 9 for 23 or whatever.
Right.
You've got to find a way to figure out when they're hot before they're hot, really. Before it's obviously hot.
The long shot running third. I've seen you point that out to me. Actually, I think it was with Rudy Brissett that same last day we were together at the track where you picked up on that clearly a day before the world that his horses were cycling up and then, you know, he won a bunch of races. It wasn't a win that put it in your head. It was a long shot, I think, running third. Horses overperforming or underperforming their odds can sort of tout the trainer as going to be hot or cold. From our point of view as day-to-day horse players, that's what you need. And then, yeah, maybe it is possible when it gets so extreme that it does get built into the models, to JK's point. It's pretty interesting. I want to get a thought on wagering strategy from each of you. JK, you've already given one in terms of the contest, but just anything on this Oaks card that you feel like offering in terms of a place you're going to want to spend more money or a specific place that you're just really excited about. What do you think in terms of that, JK?
Yeah, I think these pick sixes, obviously, on these big days are my favorite things to get involved with. I think most, you know, my brain operates really well with these stakes type horses because you take a lot of the guesswork out of it. Like, why are they here? Should they be here? Are they dropping them for a reason? You know, you have to deal with those landmines when you're playing on a normal day at Aqueduct or Santa or Gulfstream or Keeneland or New York or whatever, where a horse is dropping for 50. And is the horse a runner or is he not a runner? You don't ever really know. And that can make it really hard to have a lot of confidence and really press an opinion and put more money into the pool and the investment. That doesn't seem to happen on Derby Day, on Breeders' Cup Day. You get to have really talented horses where you feel like they want to win. They're not there, to try to pull one over on someone by dropping for a tag. So I love those pools. I feel like I get so busy during Derby that I don't do a lot of exact to try business. I'm just mostly trying to find winners and extend runs through pick threes and pick fours and fives and sixes. So this cross-country pick six or cross-day pick six, excuse me, they're doing has got me the most excited. I'm excited about that race, that bet, and I think that'll probably be the one that I put the most money into. And not only because it's all grade ones, but it's a $2 minimum as well. instead of the 20-cent minimum that we'll see on the other two pick sixes.
Where do you want to take a stand in that pick six if you're prepared to say we're doing a whole Derby show tomorrow, but for folks listening to the Oaks, obviously they have to put in that ticket today. So without going too into it, because we want folks to tune into the next show, where do you envision your biggest stand?
You know, it's going to be tricky. We'll see what happens with the other races. I think a possible horse that could be a single, like I said, need to see the PPs. Haven't even seen the PPs for Saturday yet.
They're gotcha. Not, okay. Drawn. Maybe
but Bricks and Mortar, I think would be a horse that you could lean on heavily in the Old Forester. One that I would definitely consider. And then, you know, I don't know exactly who else is going to be in the Humana Distaff, but I've always been a huge fan of Talk Vouv, and I think her last race was just what she needed. I think she'll be sitting on a big one. I don't know if I can single there, but she'll be one that I'll definitely lean on. But Bricks and Mortar could be a single in the turf race.
And it sounds like you're spread in the two legs to start it. Jake, let's move on to you and a place on the Oaks card that you're excited to bet particularly, and any wagering strategy thought you might have.
I'm pretty excited to play the Oaks Derby double. I think if I can beat Bellafina, I'm gonna start with a good price. And then the Derby is so wide open, the favorite's gonna be 7-2, 4-1 ish.
Yep.
So if you can hit the Oaks by beating Bellafina, I think you're gonna give a chance to hit a little score. You know, going into the Derby and if you're alive, it makes it more fun. During these days, I like playing a lot of doubles, mainly because I don't like sitting many races out on a good card.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm playing a pick four or five and hit the first leg, a lot of times I won't bet the next couple if I'm still alive. But on days like, you know, the big days, this Friday and Saturday, I like a bunch of doubles. It just gives me a lot more action. But I'm excited. I'm excited to watch Talk Vouv to me run as well, like JK said, and I've been following her ever since the sale when I was with Rudolph and we saw her, and I'm excited. I don't know who she's going to be running against, but I'm excited to watch her. And but yeah, if I can beat Bellafina and get to the Derby with four or five horses, you know, that I like, that's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm not going to let you get away with just that four or five horses in the Derby comment, Jake, but we're not going to do it now. I'm going to get back to you and Sean at the end of the show to hold your feet to the fire a little bit for a technical Derby selection for bragging purposes, at least. But first, I want to hear Sean's general thought on wagering strategy on Oaks Day, and then I've got a couple of silly questions, and then we'll get to that. Sean, what do you think?
You know, to me, the card on Friday really lends itself to the horizontal wagers. You've got some obvious short price winners that you can press and some races where you can spread and try to catch a little bit of a price. So the way I envision playing is I'm going to play the Friday pick six aggressively and single the horses we all have talked about singling, and then, you know, come back with pick fours and pick fives and play those less aggressively and use those as hedges and covers for the pick six. So you can do that in a way to where if you're 100% right, you can cash a pick four, a pick five, and a pick six and have just a huge day. If you're 50% right and one of these singles gets beat or two of them get beat, you can still have an okay day and get your money back. Maybe even still have a great day if the right ones get beat and you have. So that's the way I envision playing Friday. And then I agree with Jake. I'm going to play an Oaks Derby double. Play very few vertical wagers on Friday.
We'll get back to you in a minute for your thought on the Derby. But I said silly question. I do have a good silly one for Jake, but we'll put that back in the queue behind a serious question. We're just curious what's been going on with Black Type Thoroughbreds, if you have any news to report, if you've been active lately.
We bought a New York bred Miss Impassable at LBS. That's going to go to George Weaver. We partnered with Twin Creeks Racing and Parkland Thoroughbreds on him. He'll ship up to Saratoga just after Derby. And we also have a two-year-old down here in the Just Breeze last week. His name is Southerner, and he'll run in May at Belmont. And So those are our 2 2-year-olds. We're going to try to add one more, and we're trying to get a deal done now privately. And if that happens, I'll let you know the ready-made horse. Those are our we have 3 horses on the farm that are 2 are training. One needs 30 more days and then get back. So hopefully this summer we'll have, you know, 2 2-year-olds, maybe 3, and then 2 or 3 of the ones on the farm now. So we'll have, you know, 5 or 6, hopefully, to go to Saratoga with and, you know, summer fall campaign, other than the 2-year-olds. Like I said, the one Southerner, he's getting ready to run. He worked 35 and 2 the other day at Keeneland, did it nice. So hopefully we'll get one more work in at Keeneland and shift to New York. Remember the New York bred we just bought out of OBS, he worked great. And they have so much money in the New York bred program. And so hopefully, you know, hopefully he's an open company type horse, but if not, you can really take advantage of the New York purses.
Hey, if you need a representative to go out and represent Black Type at the New York tracks ever when you're not around, Jake, I'll go and shake anybody's hand, and, you know, I'll wear a cool hat. It could be a lot of fun.
That'd be a ton of fun. I doubt. You know, we just had my first child 13 days ago, so I doubt I'll be running up on a quick trip to New York and back for a maiden race. But I'm going to take you up on that if I can. Even if I do make it, you'll be representing us. So it'll
awesome.
Be a lot of fun.
Awesome. How is fatherhood treating you so far? How are you guys?
You know, everything's good. Everyone always tells you you're not going to get rest. It's going to be difficult the first month. You know, you don't. You know, you just say, okay, and then now it's happened. And never, that's a big understatement. not sleeping at all. So if all those picks I gave out today, if I do terrible, I'm just going to blame it on the lack of sleep the last 2 weeks. Oh, but no, it's been great. It's been a good addition. And but yeah, life changed pretty quick and in a very positive way.
Well, I'm excited to meet the new addition, that's for sure. So JK made a reference before to this little best friends club that you guys have down there in Lexington. But we all know that you can only have one best friend. So, Jake, I'll just ask you very bluntly, who is your best friend?
My buddy down in Texas. His name is Sam. he's been my buddy forever. But if I had to pick between Jonathan and Sean, oh man, I'm gonna go ahead and just avoid this.
I think that was very wise.
I could probably say JK, just because if I said Sean, JK would abuse me for the next couple months. And Sean would take it a lot better.
I like your logic there. All right, it's time to talk Derby. JK, your thoughts on the Derby we're going to get on tomorrow's show. We've got Duke and Paul Matisse lined up. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll be recording that at about 11 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday, depending on how long we go. Should be up by 12:30 or 1. Looking forward to that. Obviously, people can go back and listen to the Monster Pod. It's pinned to the SoundCloud profile. We've been bumping it on Twitter, but can't let Jake and Sean get out of here with, oh, and I'll spread in the Derby and doubles. No, no, no. We need a pick. We need something that we can trumpet or make fun of you for, depending on how things go. And Sean, we're going to start with you.
Before we start, I want to know who this son of a bitch Sam is down in Texas. I'm a little brokenhearted here, Pete. I don't know if I can give a valid pick now.
We're gonna we'll ask you to pull it together.
I can regroup here. I'm gonna give out Tacitus for the Derby as my top pick.
That's consistent with what we've talked about. Is there more that you like than the last time Tacitus came up on the In the Money airwaves?
Yeah, you know, I really just like the progression of his races and his speed figures. And He improved last time, but he did it under duress. He had just a brutal trip. He was still able to gather himself and finish nicely. I just think he's a nice horse that's getting better and better and is in great hands to continue getting better. So I'm going to make him my top pick. And then I think Omaha Beach is certainly the horse to beat, especially if he draws outside.
Question for you on Tacitus, Sean, before we move it back to Jake. You're so good at identifying these horses with improving figure patterns. How often are those horses coming off of bad trips? I would think that that shows even more character to be able to have those improving numbers throughout the race when you have such a difficult go of things.
You know, I don't have an answer for exactly how often that happens, but it's certainly more powerful when it does happen. You know, I like to see, you know, I love to see a horse that I think is improving, but when they're improving and did it under adverse circumstances, you know, they were against a bias or they had a trip or, you know, did it against a bad race flow, that to me means a lot more than just a horse that's improving. And it means to me that they're more likely to continue to improve. So, you know, it happens often enough, but it's a powerful angle in my opinion.
Jake Ballas, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire for one horse in this year's Kentucky Derby.
One horse. I'm going to go with Spinoff.
Spinoff.
And, you know, if you last when, and Todd last winter, Always Dreaming, he did the same kind of thing. Off the layoff, went to Tampa for an easy allowance win. Did the same thing here with Johnny going. Todd's taking a lot of heat this year as far as his two-year-olds and then three-year-olds not being great, blah, blah, blah. My heart's spun. I don't think the distance would be an issue. The mare's a grade one winner. She won the Acorn. I think Pletcher and Manny Franco, he's going to get hopefully he'll get his first Derby win. Omaha Beach is, of course, the beat, in my opinion. But if I had to pick one horse with some value, I'm going to go with Spinoff, and I'll be rooting my tail for Manny.
You mentioned Always Dreaming, standing over with our friends at Windstar Farm. JK, I don't want your Derby pick just yet, but I do want a closing thought from you to wrap up this Kentucky Oaks edition of the In the Money Players podcast.
I'm going to remind people this is just a favor for us and a favor for yourself as well. But we have the Naira Bets codes. Pete will be able to give them to you. The Naira Bet codes for signing up for Naira Bets. You need to have a Naira Bets account for the summer anyways, so you can play the late pick five and even in the spring. So make sure if you don't have one of those, this is a great opportunity for Derby and also Keeneland Select. Get you one of those as well. We have a code for that. If you can get these sign up bonuses for going to different ADWs and get a free $100 here, $300 there, it's great to do that on a weekend like this when you're going to be betting a lot anyway.
Smart.
It's Derby. So honestly, it is going to help us by getting you to sign up, but it's going to help you too by getting a couple $100 here or there for free if they're going to give it to you for signing up. So spread some of that money out. Naira Bets and also Keeneland Select helps us, helps you. Everybody's happy. And then looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be fun to have the brothers on. Hopefully we can get them arguing back and forth. They don't do it very much, but when they do, it's kind of funny.
We'll try to stoke those competitive fights. We'll get that sibling rivalry going. You mentioned those promo codes. There's a little spot for Naira Bets at the end of this show. The one there for this week, Money25. I'll let you hear the promotion in the ad that's going to run at the end of the show. For Keeneland Select, if you want to sign up and have the opportunity to get some special promotional opportunities, I believe they're still active, even though the meet is over. The code there for us is ITM19. It really does help us out when you use our promo codes. Let our partners and sponsors know where you heard about them, and that's how you can do that. And with that, we're going to close out this show. I want to thank Jake Ballas of Black Type Thoroughbreds. For more information about thoroughbred ownership, check out blacktypetb.com and feel free to reach out to Jake with any questions you might have. He's a personable fellow, and who knows, you may soon vault up on his best friends list ahead of both JK and Sean. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks for having me.
And Sean Borman, great work as always. Loved the stuff, especially when it came to wagering strategy. We wish you Godspeed this weekend and hope to have you back soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, and of course, thank you to JK, but thanks most of all to all of you for listening. Other special shout-outs to our partners at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and 10 Strike Racing. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your Kentucky Oaks photos. At the top of the show, I mentioned the special Kentucky Derby party I'll be doing with my friends at Treadwell Park West, and I mentioned there's going to be a gambling element. Yes, there will be some charity raffles benefiting the sponsor of this show, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, but you're also going to be able to wager via the Naira Bets app. And I wanted to tell everybody about a couple of Derby specials Naira Bets are running. You can access these using the promo code MONEY25. The first one, you bet $25 on your Derby horse to win, and if that horse finishes second or third, you get your $25 back. And we also have the $200 new member bonus. Bet $200 within 14 days and get a $200 bonus. You can do one, you can do both. The choice is yours. We're going to be sending out via Twitter a special landing page to join Naira Bets if you haven't already. For more information about these and other promotions, check out NairaBets.com.